Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
To the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky. We're talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season here on ESPN 1000. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube as well. Go to ESPN Chicago on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe there. You'll get all the latest content from ESPN Chicago. Mike, it was a fantastic outing last week at the Chicago Golf Show up in Rosemont. There were, I mean, it was even more crowded this year than it was last year. Like, after our show, I'm walking around the entire convention center, and it's elbow to elbow like we're in a college bar trying to get to the front and get a drink. Like, it was a fantastic showing last week, and just another well-put-together event by the Chicago Golf Show and the CDGA.
Well, I'll tell you, Tyler, good morning, all. It was a fantastic weekend. I'm starting to get my voice back finally. I actually lost it Monday and Tuesday.
Was that from cheering for all the long putts that were sunk over the weekend?
It was a
lot of
that.
I mean, your over-under got shattered.
It got destroyed. I had no idea that 74 aces would be made from 80 feet by 72 people. So we had two people.
Couple double ups.
Yeah, two people, one on Friday, one on Saturday, made back-to-back 80 footers. Try to make a back-to-back 10 footer.
Right.
You know, the odds of that are astronomical. Both those people, I told them, had to go out and get lottery tickets if you're going to, you know, strike gold, you know, that often. And it was one of the most talked about feats during the show. And then on Sunday morning, we had something happen which blew me away because we had two longest putts going at the same time. Well, both individuals, unbeknownst to us, hit the putts at the same time. And I couldn't believe it. They both dropped into the hole exactly at the same time.
That's amazing.
So, again, the odds of that, who would have thunk? But to your point, the golf show, in a time when we've returned from COVID and a lot of communities' golf shows have either gone dark, not returned, or have become much, much smaller as a result of COVID, the Chicago Golf Show has done the exact opposite. It has become perhaps the number one consumer show in the country. And we exceeded, just to your point, the number of people this year than last year. And everybody thought, well, with Paige Spiranek, how are you going to ever beat that? Mm-hmm. Well, throw Robbie Gould, Nick Anderson, mm-hmm. and the Guinness Book of World Records holder Jay Stocky into the mix. And just the passion of golf and golfers in Chicago. And you have a recipe for extreme success. And that's what we had out there. And industry leaders within the golf industry all came to Chicago. All the leaders within the Chicago golf market were all there. And our booth, which was over 11,000 square feet, became kind of the common meeting post. Yep. And it became kind of what I compared to the big old oak tree at Augusta. That's the old, hey, let's all meet by the oak tree.
Yep.
It was everybody, let's go meet at the CDGA Long Putt. Because yeah. It was the marquee event. But the coolest thing from my perspective is watching everyone come together, renew acquaintances, have conversation, renew, you know, friendships, relationships. And I saw a lot of games being set up for this weekend because of, yeah. Look at this weather. Are
I
you
know.
Kidding me?
It's fantastic. I mean, you look at all of the different booths that were there and You kind of knew, like, people, I think the golf heads have really been scouting out the forecast for this weekend because this is one of those weekends, it's the rare, I guess we're in March now, but, like, the rare, like, late winter, you get a couple pop-up 60-degree days and you're thinking, oh, maybe mm-hmm. we can get on out there. Our buddy Charlie Bevins, who's in here producing for us sometimes, he went out and played last week, and he found his way onto the news because of it on NBC5. But it's just gotten to the point, like, I'm playing tomorrow. Like, it's gotten to the point now where everyone's sort of, like, golf is in the air now because, I mean, do we have to thank the groundhog for this? Is that what it is? We're getting our early spring, and it's really showing. The spring's come so early that they're going to start the construction on the Kennedy the other way a little bit earlier, which I don't think people love that. But no. people love the fact that you're going to be able to golf out of it.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of us, we associate the amount of orange construction we see on the roads to great golf is coming, right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's happening. In fact, yesterday, across the board, many of our member clubs throughout the entire district officially opened, not with the idea that we're going to open for just a couple of days and then probably close again. Mm-hmm. They're open. And in fact, Fox Bend has their range open. They're on grass. I mean, are you kidding me? On March 1st? Now, to your point, the groundhog. It's also an interesting year for us as golfers, too. And I don't know how much you know about these cicadas that are going to be coming.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I just wonder, did we not go through a hard, harsh, frozen ground? Because the ground is not frozen. It never did get frozen.
No.
So these cicadas are going to come up, like, with no problem. Mm-hmm. And for golfers who don't understand, it's going to be a nuisance for a few weeks. And it's going to be an unusual strand that's coming to Chicago between a 13 and a 17-year hitting together. The first time in 221 years. So that time in late May and into June is going to be, I guess we're going to probably have to come up, you know, I have a leaf rule in golf. I think we're going to probably have to come up with a gentleman's cicada rule. I mean, I can just see us playing.
Yeah.
Your putt's rolling in, and then all of a sudden a cicada lands. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get
out of the way. Or, like,
what do you do?
The other part too is, like, you've got the shedding of the cicada. That's so exactly. Like the shells are everywhere, and it's going to be like a leaf. You just got to get it out of the
That's
way.
That's right. And so, there's going to be millions and millions of them. My only fear is that we're setting up for a bit of a wet summer, because if those things are all going to come, well, somehow they got to get washed away. So My thought is we'll probably have great weather while they're here, and we may have a little bit of a wet July, but then it'll probably kick back into what is traditionally a Chicago summer.
Well, I was going to ask you, too, and you started to hint at it a little bit there, but it does seem like a few more places are opening early because of the unseasonably warm weather that we've been having as of late. I mean, we've had a couple of 60-degree days. I think we got into the 70s on Tuesday before the heavens opened up, and we had hail, and there were even some tornadoes, it looked like, out in the Northwest as well. But it seems like there's more and more courses that are opening up earlier and earlier this year, and I mean, there's the itch. People have the itch for it.
Well, and again, and I know it's, you know, that fable or the tradition we go by, the groundhog, but I honestly had a lot of operators, as soon as that report came out, they changed their way of thinking, and, you know, whether they trusted it or not, but they were prepared. And for those who got prepared to open up early, it's gonna show at the end of the year when they look over their year over year, because how much golf did you play in March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd last year? Probably zero. Mm-hmm. And in this day and age where the golf business, the operators are getting a lot of pressure from the owners or the groups that manage their courses to do better than the year before. Well, if you go back, we've had a couple of cool things happen in our industry since COVID. The game has exploded. The courses are doing great. But the weather has cooperated in a way that I can't remember two of the best summers that we've had back to back. So that puts pressure on the operators to exceed what they did last year in the way of either number of rounds, revenue, and the rest of it. So for those operators that were prepared, they're actually getting a huge jump start on what they've done either last year or the year before.
Well, and that's better than the let's jam tee times a little bit tighter together. Like I think right after COVID, we started to see some places put the spacing between tee times, instead of 10 minutes, they're going to 7 minutes. And then you get congestion, and then you get unhappy golfers, and then you get, oh, people are hitting into us, or you're hitting into other people, and it just becomes a mess, and it becomes an unpleasant time.
And to your point, a lot of the operators have listened to that as well. Mm-hmm. And while the price of the green fee may have gone up a couple of bucks, what they've done is just the opposite of that. Instead of being at 7 minutes and even at 10, some are even going to 11 and 12.
Are they really? Wow.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe Whistling Straits going to 15 minutes.
Are they really? Wow.
Yeah, except to play golf there is mm-hmm. going to run you over $700, wow. and you have to stay there and take a caddy. So,
yeah.
you know, that's more of in your budget. For me, I'll stick with the with my courses out in the western suburbs.
I noticed like the 7 minutes, and then like you said, it kind of got back to like 9, 10. I haven't seen the 12s yet, but I'm sure they're out there if I hunt intensely enough. And you look through, like, that's the way that it needs to be, because everyone is just going to have a better time that way. And I think that when you open up, starting in the beginning of March, or even, dare I say, in late February, and you have some of those, the ability to have some of those rounds, it certainly will make everything better. And you talk about the year-over-year numbers that some of these courses are looking to build upon. It's been a really strong past couple of years. You talk to a lot of golf operators. It's very tough to find an unhappy golf operator over the last couple of years because of the way that the sport has boomed.
No question. In fact, I'll tell you where you find an unhappy operator is towards the end of the year when they are absolutely cross-eyed. All their good help has returned back to college in the seasonality, and they haven't had a day off in 58 days in a row. That's where they start to get a little cranky, but by then it's time for the season to basically end. But our operators here in Chicago are among the best, for sure. And, you know, some of those bigger spaces between tee times are going to be more at the high, high end, because that's been the that's been the consternation, is paying all this money and then having to play a five and a half hour round. You know, your operators here in the Chicagoland area are still going to probably, you know, stretch it to 10, but I wouldn't expect many to go much beyond that. Because, again, I think on the courses that aren't as extreme in terms of the difficulty, slope, and rating, it's still going to be easy to get around in a respectable, you know, four hours and 15-minute round.
Yeah. By the way, this segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Yeah, the golf season is here. The sun is shining in Chicago today. I'm sure plenty of people will get out and at least try to get nine in today. Maybe not warm enough for the full 18 yet, but you bundle up a little bit. You can make it happen if you want. I'm interested to see how some of the courses are doing from the storms we had earlier in the week as well, how they're adapting to that, because not only are you having to deal with those elements, but the fact that it is early in the season, the ground may not be totally ready to go, but it's nice enough and everything else is good enough that you can go out and open the doors for golfers.
Yeah, and I would also say, because of the winter that we had, you're not going to have a lot of that, what I call ground freeze, or that ice where the damage has been done because of the amount of ice that just stayed on top of greens and tees, and you kind of get that freeze burn look mm-hmm. in the beginning of the season. I think actually you're going to be mildly shocked and surprised at how good a shape these courses are going to be early in the season, and I think that just is music to the ears of many of our Chicagoland golfers. And then you couple the fact with the USGA making the decision to extend in our part of the United States the season for reporting scores. It's March 15th. It's only 2 weeks away, you know, and then the season will actually extend longer than we've done in the past, where traditionally it always ended on, you know, midnight at Halloween, and now it will go to November 14th. So the USGA and the governing bodies of golf have recognized this, you know, global warming and the effect it's having on golf. So our golf season just became extended by virtually 4 weeks.
Yeah, I've got a couple other spring golf questions I want to run by you when we come back, because the season is here. Sometimes we're not used to like getting back into the golf season, and I think we need some like do's and don'ts, some primers, some tips, all that stuff for getting back into that. So we'll do that when we come back here. This segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. The CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you for the golf show here on ESPN 1000. It's all presented to you by Glenview Park Golf Club. All right, Mike, with a lot of people getting into the swing of things this weekend, and if you're going to be playing this weekend, we'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. 3776. What's the one thing that you always have to remember for your first round of the year, especially if it's in the early spring months? If you've got that answer, 312-332-3776. We'd love to hear from you here. What are some of the things that you always make sure are squared away and ready to go for the your first round of the year, whether it's a swing thing, whether it's an etiquette thing that you got to remember for when you're on the course and maybe the courses aren't in their prime July conditions. Maybe it's an equipment thing that you always have to remember to bring with you. What are some of those things for you?
Well, for me, and it's funny you bring this up because I looked at the weather this weekend after the golf show. So Monday when I was at the Rosemont Convention Center finishing up, I went home and the day was beautiful. So the first thing I did was cleaned out the back of my car, got my back of my SUV all ready to go, how the clubs fit in. I've got storage boxes for balls, gloves, shoes, all that. Everything's organized. Everything has a place. Then I regrip my clubs because there's nothing better than
I'll have you know, I did buy a putter grip last week.
There you go.
I just need to get it on the club now.
Well, if you give it to me, I can do that in
I'll
my
bring
garage
it next week.
For you.
No Perfect.
Problem. But I do do that because you can take a set of, you know, moderately used clubs, you throw on some new grips, and they are like, they feel like they're brand new. And so for me, I always want to get my equipment checked. I want to make sure that the lies, the loft, because of that constant banging of balls on mats, especially during the indoor season, which we're coming out of, and we're going to be on those mats for a while. If you are playing any form of a forged blade, your clubs will move over time, and mine will move anywhere from 2 to 3 degrees in terms of strength and making them stronger than I want for distance control, and then the lie and the loft also can be affected. So I get all of that fit. For those who are going to get new clubs, well, obviously you want to go through a thorough club fitting. And when you're doing that, you want to be honest because you want to be fit for what is appropriate for your swing speed, game, and all of that. You, even though it may look good to play that brand or that club that you can't really square up too well to impress your friends, you won't impress them by hitting it out of bounds with that, you know, $600 driver.
Right.
You'd be better off with a lesser driver and putting it on the screws and putting it out in play. So I think getting fit, there's a you know, equal sort of deal with being honest. So the better your fit is all a derivative of being really honest. And the other thing is, I would say get an index. Join the CDGA because your index, first off, don't be that guy that shows up this weekend and everyone's wondering, what's your index? And you're going, well, I usually shoot somewhere around here. Then that's where guys are like, I don't know if we really trust what he's saying. Or, you know, you be that guy and all of a sudden you shoot 80 and everyone's not happy with you. But that also allows you to track your progress. And with the CDGA, you automatically get with an app, and if you do your scoring through the app, it will figure out all your stats between fairways hit, as long as you enter in greens, regulation, etc. So it also then enables you to, you know, focus on the areas where you need to improve. So for me, getting a fresh start, getting the equipment right, because then that eliminates a lot of the excuses in my own mental mind. If I know my equipment's right and it's fitting me right, well, now the rest of it's all on me. So, and then with that, my swing thoughts is keep everything slow.
Yes.
Everybody gets out there with the idea that I'm going to hit it a country mile. And I would actually advise everybody when they play in your first round or two, if you think you have to hit 8-iron, just try to hit 7.
Yes. I was going to bring up a similar point because don't be trying to hit your June and July distances in March. I think if you slow the entire process down, sort of let the club do a little bit more of the work early on in the season, you'll be a little more pleased with some of your April and May and even March scores. And just by slowing that process down, I think will help tremendously.
No doubt. And I wouldn't immediately look at today's ball flight and all of a sudden you're saying, I'm only hitting my 8-iron 140 yards. I usually hit it 154. Well, the temperature's still cold out there.
Yeah.
Those range balls you might be hitting have been sitting in that garage since October, so they're probably pretty cold. So the ball is not going to react like it does in June and July. But to your point, if you swing 80% hitting 7-irons instead of 8s and not trying to hit everything max, your swing will be more connected. And when we try to do things out of our abilities, that's when we become disconnected, and then the lug nuts start flying and the wheels come off.
Yeah. And if you haven't played or you haven't been to the range much in the off season too, like, you're going to feel it the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because you are probably going to have more strokes early on in the season because of the fact that you're just getting back into the swing of things, and you're going to feel it. Or if you go out and, let's say you don't play, but you have a session at the range, like, you're going to feel it in your shoulders, your back, and all that stuff. And just make sure that you're recovering appropriately after that, because you are going to feel it early on in the season.
Right. And to that point, don't be the guy that gets to the range and pulls out the driver for the first swing of the year. Hit some half chips. Just hit 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Get that rhythm and get that good, what we call smash factor, the good compression of the ball. You feel it. It's hitting a sweet spot. And then build from there. Build with success. Really structure yourself for success. And the best way to do that, go get a lesson with an Illinois PGA pro and get sort of your bearings right. Get that setup right, because the setup is 80% of the swing. If you can get that right, pull it back and let her rip. You know, but I think having a little refresher with your Illinois PGA Pro is the best way to start.
Absolutely. Equipment-wise for me, another thing that I think is worth bringing up in the spring, make sure you've got a clean towel.
Yes.
Because you're going to have to be wiping balls. You're going to have to be wiping clubs. You're going to be playing some muddy rounds. You're going to be lifting up a lot of turf in all likelihood in a lot of your swings. I think that. And then also, like, we've all done it. The season's coming to an end. And you're like, all right, I don't have a ton of balls left, but I can make it through the end of the season here. Just make sure you're stocked up on balls, too, before you get back out there. Or otherwise, you're going to be opening up your bag and see you got two balls. One you knew that was completely waterlogged, but you just had it in there for when you did have the water hole on seven that, oh, if I lose this one, it's whatever. Like, make sure you're stocked up on balls, tees, all that stuff, because we know at the end of the season, you're just trying to get to the finish line some of the time with your equipment.
That's a great point. And I had that actually happen to me with a gentleman that played and did the exact same thing. And not only did he run out of golf balls, he didn't have tees. And that's kind of a frustrating thing. Every time you're, you know, one of your partners, you got a tee? You got a tee?
Yeah.
But, yeah, do the inventory. Clean out the bag.
That's another good point. What a great day
to do it, too.
Yeah. Clean out the bag, reorganize, because you probably like threw some loose tees in the compartment where you keep your balls, or vice versa. You got gloves, like a crumpled up glove at the bottom of the bag that maybe has a small hole in it. Like, just get rid of it.
All of it.
Get rid of it.
All of it.
You can go out, get a new one, get set and fresh and ready to go for the new season.
One year I cleaned out my bag and I found an old banana.
And there's probably like a little, an old Gatorade bottle in there.
Yeah, I've done that too. Multiple Gatorade bottles. My son, he pulled out six old Gatorade bottles one year. Six.
Did it?
And I was like, wow. Don't you know where the garbage can is?
Yeah. I had one year, I opened it up in the new spring, and there was a crushed bottle of sunscreen. And so there was like crusty sunscreen in the bag. It was disgusting.
That's time to go get a new bag.
Yes. Yes, it is. And then like it would get on like the bag cover for when it's like raining, like the overhead cover for the entire bag. Like it was just a disaster. But we made it through that golf season, and so can you. So
exactly. Go
out, refresh all your equipment. What about playing wise, like etiquette wise while you're on the court, on the course? What about all of that? Some of the things that, obviously, rules are a little bit different when you play in the spring versus when you're going to play in the summer.
Well, I think first and foremost, know your place on the golf course. I think especially if you're playing with strangers, don't be the one single that holds the group back, but be mindful of the people in front of you, but also behind you. Even though you may have not people pushing you from behind, they may be playing slow. Your job is to stay with the group in front of you and never let them really get out of sight. And if you do that, and everybody does it, then it becomes an amazing experience for everybody. And at all of our events, we have a saying just before we send out the groups. We say to everybody, play good golf, play fast golf. Play bad golf, play even faster. So there is truth to be that. If you're not playing well, at least keep up. That is paramount. People won't remember that you played bad, but they will remember if you're a slow player or not. And trust me when I tell you that, because I'll play with bad players all day long as long as they keep pace.
Yes.
But if the good player who's slower than molasses in January, I really don't have the patience nor the time to do it.
Right. And that's one of the things that whenever I'm playing, it's always like, all right, I just hope I'm in a fast group. If I get a single or if I get another pairing within our foursome, like, it's always, all right, I just hope it's they can play up. They can play with a little bit of pace, because that's the thing, is you can come back after a long round and say, oh, I shot 105, oh, I shot 95, and not be happy with it. But you'll always be more pissed off when you're shooting a 95 or a 105 and the round was 5 hours.
Exactly.
That'll always be the thing that is more frustrating than the number that you put on the card.
No doubt. And I just think that if, for all the new players, especially the people that are coming from other sports and are embracing golf for the first time, I can't emphasize the fact that your pace of play tells a lot about whether or not you're going to be somebody that a lot of people want to play golf with. And it has nothing to do with your ability. And it's funny, you know, being a single digit index that I am, people always are intimidated. And I said, don't be intimidated. As long as you keep up, it doesn't bother me.
I was intimidated the first time I played with you.
but you play quick. So that's why we work well together, because, you know, you get into a cadence and a rhythm. That's how good players continue to play well and score, because they're in a rhythm.
Yeah.
But when you have somebody that's keeping you away from getting in rhythm, that's when it becomes frustrating. It has nothing to do with their playing. It's just when they're not ready, then when it's their turn, oh, I got to put on my glove. Oh, I now have to step off the yardage. Oh, now I have to start thinking, rather than have the club in your hand, ready to go, ready to pull it back. As soon as you're done, I'm getting ready, and my ball's coming right behind yours.
Yeah. Well, and you brought up, too, the getting your distances. The slow guy with the rangefinder.
Oh, boy. Especially the guy with the rangefinder that can't break 100 to save his life. It's like, why do you even have that?
Yeah.
Just
use the sprinkler heads at that point.
That's good.
Sprinkler head and the 150 markers.
Right. And I
look for your red and blue dots.
And I think what we watch on the TV, you know, and you get all those mic'd up moments where you're watching the caddy and the player talk. And I think that gives us the feeling that we should be acting the same way. We should not.
150 and 153 doesn't matter for you.
No,
it doesn't.
It really doesn't. And if you are that good, you should be able to just hit it in there anyway and make the putt. So it really shouldn't matter.
Right.
You should be able to sight it and hit it. And also, I think by playing in a good rhythm and playing quickly, It avoids that over-analysis leads to total swing paralysis.
Yes.
How many times you see a guy almost fall asleep over it, and you can tell they've got 54 thoughts in their mind, and then the whole thing goes haywire at the moment, instead of just go out and play.
Right. Right there with you. All right, when we come back, we will talk to our buddy Jake Marsh. He is on the call at the Cognizant Classic for PGA Tour Live. We'll do that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Some new branding down at PGA National as the former Honda Classic turns into the Cognizant Classic, and we go down to Florida where we find Jake Marsh. He's on the call with PGA Tour Live. You can catch that streaming on ESPN Plus with the Cognizant Classic. He joins us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jake Marsh with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Jake. How's everything going down in Florida?
Good morning, Tyler. So far, so good. We're up here in the Jacksonville area at PGA Tour Entertainment headquarters. But down in South Florida, it's been a fun tournament so far. Some great storylines to monitor.
So, Jake, with the Cognizant now replacing one of the longest-running PGA Tour title sponsors in their tour history, what has the vibe been like with Cognizant coming on board between the gallery, the media, the sponsors, and the players? Have they seen much of a difference, or has the community sort of embraced it just like it's a Honda, just with another brand as the title?
Yeah, I don't know if the players are or the fans are approaching it any differently, but I'll tell you what, the feel at this tournament is much stronger than we've seen in the past. In fact, there's 10 recent winners of this tournament that were in this field, notably Rory, Ricky, so some big names to start off the Florida swing, a very important four-tournament stretch here in Florida.
So, Jake, the top five, not a lot of names that are going to resonate on the tour, but you get a little bit further down into the top 10, and that's where you find your Rorys, your Shane Lowrys, your Cameron Youngs. Which one of these guys do you think so far is most primed to go up and make a run for it on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously can't count out Rory. Cam Young had a strong first round, played well enough on Friday to stick around inside the top 10. But it'll be interesting. I think Lowry, like you mentioned, is in the mix, even Matt Fitzpatrick. So it's great to see a lot of the big names playing into the weekend here.
Jake, Bud Cauley, a name that a lot of people probably wouldn't recognize, though, is probably the human interest story thus far going into Saturday. Can you give us a little rundown of his struggles and what his comeback has been like?
Yeah, definitely. 33 years old. This is actually really cool that he's right on top of the leaderboard right now. He plays from Palm Beach Gardens, and you see a lot of that with a lot of these Floridians. They're playing in their backyard. That'll up the contingent of getting friends and family out here. So I was digging into Bud Cauley a little bit, and I'll tell you what, the biggest thing that stood out to me personally, obviously he has some struggles, but I saw he's a big table tennis player. And as a noted ping pong guy myself, I think if Bud Cauley wins this tournament, I'm going to have to challenge him.
Is he the best in the office too?
We'll find out if he's the best on the tour.
Jake Marsh, our guest with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So looking at the course and some of the conditions coming up, what are we looking at today and tomorrow in terms of weather and kind of how the course is going to play?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's going to get higher than 80 degrees, which is a win. We're talking Florida, so it shouldn't be too hot. But it's interesting because the guys who were fortunate enough to tee off on Thursday morning, the course was playing in perfect conditions. It was really soft, and we saw the first half leader, Chad Ramey, in at 7-under. And then you think, all right, he's on pace to be in the 20s when no one's won this tournament at lower than 14-under. Then water kind of found its level yesterday, and the aforementioned Bud Cauley was in at 11-under. But the wind has been a huge issue. And we were posted up on the featured hole stream on 17 in the afternoon. We'll be there today and tomorrow as well, if anyone wants to check that out. But we saw the amount of balls in the water on 17 double from 10 into the 20s. So it'll be interesting with more pressure as guys who are obviously still in contention come down the stretch there at the famous Bear Track.
Well, yeah, and you talk about shots that ended up wayward. How about the eventful day that Thomas Dietrich had yesterday? He had looked like a lot of us out there. I have yet to see a six putt in my time in watching the PGA Tour. Any thoughts on what we saw out of Thomas yesterday?
Yeah, that was an insane highlight, and it was very relatable for guys like us. But rarely do you see that on the tour. We've seen a few four putts, but that one was just, I think he just let the moment get the best of him, unfortunately.
Jake Marsh with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So one of the other guys, he's actually playing pretty well so far today, Zach Johnson, 3-under today, 6-under for the tournament. He's inside the top 20 right now. He's jumped up 25 spots today alone. But has Captain Zach been causing any ruckus off the course with some fans? We saw that be a big topic of conversation at the Waste Management. Has Zach been on his best behavior this week?
You know, we're not on site, so I can't fully officially make a comment, but he's been getting some cheers. We saw him at 17 yesterday as well, and then he played that first hole, the par 4, which has been birdie-friendly to a lot of players so far today. So there's some of these holes where it feels like a par is bad, and you're kind of losing stroke. But Zach Johnson in the mix, of course, the veteran.
you know, and Jake, we see events in fields like this. We see new players come to the forefront, rise to the top. I'm watching a guy like Jake Knapp now make a new name for himself. He's, you know, I would have expected sort of a so-so tournament. But here he is, T6, going into Saturday. The kid's got game. And what are your thoughts on Jake Knapp going into the weekend?
Yeah, he's an absolute baller. And actually, full circle moment, the last time I was on your guys' show over the summer, I came in studio. We were previewing the MV5 Invitational that was taking place at the Glen Club. And Jake Knapp was in our featured group on the Korn Ferry Tour last summer.
Wow.
Fast forward, 8 months later? Here he is on the PGA Tour, coming off that remarkable win in Mexico. And he was in the featured group coverage, the marquee group coverage. He was with Rory and defending champion in this event, Chris Kirk, yesterday. And like you mentioned, that has not fazed him one bit. He's inside the top 10. And for the second straight week, he's in contention. So a great story. The former nightclub employee, he can absolutely destroy the ball. And you'll notice an Anaheim Ducks logo on his sleeve, which is it's a cool little wrinkle as well.
Well, he also has it on his bag. I was going to ask you if you knew anything about the affiliation with the Ducks.
Yeah, I think he actually told us this story on the range at the Glen Club last summer. I want to say he's friendly with the owner, the GM, or there's some sort of connection there, but he's obviously a fan of the team, too.
I think he's one of his backers is what it is. But
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he's got the Mighty Duck on his tour
bag.
So
we've got the coolest thing. Cameron Young in this event, he's sponsored by MLB. And then you've got Jake Knapp. He's sporting the Mighty Duck, one of the greatest logos in all of sports, by the way.
Yeah, and it looks so good on his golf bag.
Yeah, they need to bring back the retro one. I know they have the gold D1, but we need the one from the movies back.
Right, exactly. So. Jake, appreciate you taking some time with us here, and enjoy the final two rounds of the Cognizant down in Florida.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me at noon central time for the rest of the day. Well, starting at noon, we'll be posted up at that Bear Trap 17th hole on ESPN+, PGA Tour Live. But until then, we have the featured group coverage, including Ricky's group and Camila Bajegas and company, too. So I appreciate you guys, and enjoy the weekend.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Jake.
It's Jake Marsh on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. You know, we've also got the Live Golf Tour going on. I do want to get into like some Live musings, because you've been taking it in at the wee hours of the morning trying to see what's going on over in Jeddah. So we'll do all that when we come back here. It's the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We'll be right back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilgan with you every single Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. We've got the Live event going on in Jeddah, going head-to-head with what's going on down at the Cognizant. And you look at the top of the Live leaderboard, and boy, it's got some bigger names over there than it does on the other side on the PGA Tour. Your leader right now, Joaquin Niemann, Charles Schwartzel, and Jason Kokrak, and Louis Oosthuizen. Abraham Anser also in the mix as well. John Rahm in a tie for fifth right now, as Rahm is four strokes back of the leader, Niemann, right now. You've been taking in a lot of the Live Golf. What have you seen from it?
Well, I was just curious to see what this new season, you know, has in store for us, any of the differences. So, I was up. I let them play sort of that front nine and watched most of the back nine this morning. And it's, you know, a couple of takeaways from my perspective. You know, this whole Live thing originated out of Saudi Arabia. I was expecting to see tremendous crowds, because it was like the Live event has gone home to where this thing was originated and conceived, and yet there's nobody really there. It's interesting. Now, they do have a new streaming partner in Caffeine, which I hadn't heard of this until now. So they do have a streaming partner. So they're making little baby steps to eventually try to be more like the PGA Tour. But to your point, the names, as you run down the leaderboard, I mean, Phil Mickelson's in ninth. You know, you got Adrian Meronk, who left because he was snubbed with the Ryder Cup event last, you know, last fall. He left the European Tour to come over. You know, you've got Taylor Gooch, who sort of, you know, put his foot in his mouth earlier in the week. But you've got a lot of guys, you know, Tyrell Hatton and Patrick Reed and, you know, Bryson DeChambeau. So it's interesting. We know these names, and it's kind of sad that all the villains and all the guys that we like to either root against, in some cases for, you know, I always say there is no Batman and Robin unless you have the Penguin, and unless Lex Luthor lives, you know, or is around, you don't have Superman. So I think this is the disconnect that's going on right now in professional golf. These guys, I think on both sides of the argument, both know they all need to come back together in some way, shape, or form. But what was interesting for me, and really the curiosity got the cat this morning, was Anthony Kim for me.
Yeah,
because now we finally have a player to which the Americans adored. We loved Anthony Kim and all that he did for us at the Ryder Cup. And he was just such a likable, charismatic young man. And, you know, he had the world in his two hands. Yeah. And then he unfortunately became injured. And he has not seen professional golf in 4,320 days.
That's 12 years.
Almost 12 years. Yeah. So if you are at their level and, you know, you spend 11 or 12 days away from your craft at their level, the comeback is not going to be an easy one. And I found it very interesting when, you know, I saw in his first round after 12-year layoff, he shoots 76. And all the haters came out towards Anthony Kim. Like, why is he coming back? Like, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He's terrible. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, Will Zalatoris shot 76 after being off 9 months, and we heard crickets.
Yeah.
I mean, we were like saying he's coming back.
Yeah.
Like we're positive for him. And then you have, you know, Eric Cole, rookie of the year, on the first round at the Cognizant, shot 79. So it does happen. You know, he's going to learn to play competitively again, and I think he's in the right place to do it, because let's face it, I'm sure certain monies had to be paid back due to this insurance deal that he had in place. I'm sure the live arrangement took care of that and then some. So it's just good to see Anthony Kim back with his friends playing and competitively with a smile on his face. Will he come back and be one of the top players in this game? I don't know, but it's going to be a fun journey to watch. And Liv is giving us that opportunity.
Well, the other crazy thing about it is the fact that, I mean, 12 years, most athletic careers are anywhere in the range of like 3 to 4 years. This guy sat out for 12.
Exactly.
And is making it back all the way around. Like, when you put it in that perspective, to be off for that length when most careers in sports, whatever sport you want, this completely dwarfs whatever the average career of a professional athlete is. And this is just his time that he spent away from the game. And for him to get back into it now on the LIV Tour, sure, it hasn't gone great for him. He's well behind in the last place on the LIV Tour. He's at 12 over for the week. The next person ahead of him is 3 over. But for him to just be out there and be competing, I think, is something that you root for.
Exactly, because, again, injury took this young man out of the game when he was 26 years old. So they say you are in your prime at 34 in this wacky game we call professional golf. So he has gone from totally on the ascension of his young career to having it, you know, cut off. Now we're inserting him. And he's technically on the downside, yes, but I still think with all that rest, he may be 38 years of age, but he still has a body of a 20-something-year-old person because he hasn't been traveling and going through all the burdens and all the other nagging injuries. I think, you know, he's got a young body still. Now it's just whether or not the 6 inches between his ears is what he can he get mentally strong and back to where he was. The attitude and all the interviews and everything that I've seen come out of Saudi Arabia with him is he's in a good mental space. And yeah. he knows that this isn't about one weekend. It's going to be a journey. He's been gone from the game. It's going to take a little bit of time. But I'm telling you, I think he could be a very valuable player to one of these teams down the road. But as I look at Liv, I keep praying every day, every morning, that these two entities can get together on this thing and let's bring back professional golf in a unison way that it's stronger than ever. And the beauty of what's going on is these powers to be at the PGA Tour and at PIF, they have the ability to do this. And I just hope they do it in the right fashion for all of us golf fans.
Yep. All right, when we come back, I do want to talk about the Taylor Gooch comments about the Masters and the asterisk. Is there an asterisk surrounding the Masters? We'll do that when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.